Hey, Jay.
Hey, Larry.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
Yeah.
It's going all right. Long days, man.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I wish sometimes the day would just end.
Oh, my God. You know, listen, there was a time, I usually think that, but then there was a time this week.
Did it end?
It came really close to all of the days ending.
Oh, no. The end of days?
Yeah.
The end of times?
Yeah, we broke a couple of seals. There were a couple voices. It was.
You don't mean like living seals. You mean like seals on a door.
On a book.
Because well, if it was a baby
book,
seal.
There were some seals.
That would be awful. Oh, hey. Great.
Thank you. So, yeah.
So you
it was bad.
Some seals.
We broke
yeah.
some seals. Some voices said, come and see. You know what happens next, so.
Did you come and see?
No.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah. See, yeah, no. I stayed away and I closed my eyes, much like Indiana Jones. Just close your eyes, Marion.
You know what's interesting about that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long are you going to close your eyes for? Like, how do you know it's over?
When all the Nazis have melted.
Well, how do you know they've melted? Your eyes are closed.
I don't know. Well, you know, you smell burning Nazi.
Well, but they could be in the period of burning.
They could be.
I'm just saying.
Man, Big Bang Theory really ruined that movie for me.
Oh, when you found out that, it doesn't matter.
He really could have just stayed home.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah, I knew that.
Still would have ended the same way.
Yep.
And yet it still works. It's a mystery. I don't know how that movie works.
Charm.
Pretty much.
Magic.
But anywho.
Anywho. But you know what? You know what your talk about the end of days makes me think about?
What?
The end of days.
The end of days, you know?
The apocalypse.
That's what it made me think about.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Actual apocalypse and how apocalypses are handled in science fiction.
And fantasy.
Fantasy. Which is interesting, and I love apocalypses.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, give me a good
you like
apocalyptic
a good
ending.
Story?
Oh,
apocalyptic
where
ending.
Everyone dies.
Oh.
Oh, man, one of my favorite comics was this, like, brief run they did. Just think about it today, called The Last Avengers Story.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was great. It was set in the future.
Well,
the Avengers
it would have to
were,
be, yeah.
The Avengers were all screwed up.
Aren't they already screwed up?
And Kang the Conqueror came to destroy them.
Yeah.
And he kind of did. They get him in the end, but...
Isn't that very similar to, like, The Punisher... versus the Marvel Universe?
I guess so. I don't know.
You've never read that one?
No.
Well, you tell your thing first, then I'll tell mine.
Yeah, it was like, it gets the end, and Hawkeye is blind, and...
That's pretty bad if you're...
You
require
I know.
Eyes to see.
The Vision has gone mad because in a terrible fight, between him and Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch was murdered.
Wouldn't it have been more awesome if the Vision had gone blind?
That also would have been awesome.
Why has no one written that story?
I don't know. Because he's, you know, it's a synthesoid, so...
Would he be called the Unvision?
Oh.
The Not-Vision?
Anywho, it was appropriately apocalyptic.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you give me a story...
Then you should read The
yep.
Punisher versus the Marvel Universe.
So which
Universe.
One was this? I don't remember this one.
It's literally called The Punisher versus the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And the Punisher takes on everybody. Because what happens... It's very similar to Civil War in that a fight spills out, like in the park or whatever,
right.
And kills his family. So the Punisher starts killing them all, one by one. And eventually, I think he nukes everybody.
I like it.
He wins.
That's,
the Punisher wins.
I mean, unfortunately, in comics, they are always Elseworlds or fantasy stories. Like Kingdom Come was another great apocalyptic comic book. Oh, God, I love that one.
See, but what's interesting to me is, like, the apocalyptic stories you're bringing up are very specifically stories that are, I mean, they're all imaginary, but they are, like, stories that don't happen.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
like,
but they are usually outside of continuity.
Yeah.
They're sometimes, well, either outside of a continuity or in a different continuity.
Yeah.
Because I think now the Kingdom Come universe is its own universe within the DC multiverse.
I'm not sure if that still is true with the new DCU.
Oh, okay.
I'm
so they
not
may
sure
have
that's entirely true.
They may have erased it entirely.
Yeah.
As a fan, but for a while it was.
For a while it was, yes.
For a while it was its own timeline.
Came back.
That's right.
Was it Magog?
Gog and Magog.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like that one also because again, like it used Gog and Magog, and it used actual revelations quotes, which are, yes, the most cliched things in the world.
But didn't they stop the apocalypse from happening in
Kingdom
Come?
Yes, he manages to stop. Well, the
vision. Because there's the guy that was having the vision.
The preacher has the vision. His visions come true, but he doesn't see the full end of the battle.
Right.
So he sees to the point where most of the hero up for people who haven't read it. Kingdom
and why
Come
haven't you?
Is again set in a near future of the DC universe, where sort of the classic heroes come out of retirement to deal with a more violent, more out of control element
of the next generation.
Yeah. And it leads to a huge apocalyptic fight at this prison.
That's Superman made?
No, that Batman made.
That's right.
Batman builds this huge prison. And the climax of it is a nuclear bomb is supposed to come down.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel stops it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still is close enough that it kills, like, the majority.
Wasn't there, though, like a...
Not the majority, but a large number.
Chunk. Was it in the miniseries, too, where someone, like, ripped open Captain Atom?
Yes, that's
the beginning.
Similar to Civil War in that, like, someone rips open what happens. Well, no, it's not. Well, it's actually really similar to Civil War because what kicks it, one of the things that has happened in it is Kansas has been irradiated.
Right.
Because Gog, one of the more violent superheroes, ripped open. In a fight, one of the villains they're chasing rips open Captain Atom.
Yeah. And of course. Because he's atomic.
He is.
It causes devastation.
Massive devastation.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I like the apocalyptic stories. I mean, I like those. I like those, but I'm not necessarily drawn to them. But I'm more drawn to, like, you know, ones that are, like, this is what is actually happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the world of this, you know, how do we rebuild or whatever. Right. Like, the BBC Survivors, which I've mentioned before. But are we talking kind of, like...
Well,
it's stories set after the apocalypse or, like, apocalyptic visions. Because I'm thinking of there's an episode of Enterprise or Star Trek Enterprise.
Star Trek Enterprise,
as it was at one point called, depending what season you're talking about. And in one of its finer seasons.
We say with quotes.
With quotes. Captain Archer is brought to the far future.
Right.
Where he's shown, like, oh, the aliens from whatever universe, they've changed your universe, and the world's gonna end unless you help us in your time.
Right.
You know, which is a good kind of, like, threat of the apocalypse.
Which is always the threat of the apocalypse. I mean, I feel like...
And all good things. The season is...
Exactly.
You could argue that's an apocalyptic tale.
It is an apocalyptic tale. I mean, it's a weird apocalyptic tale, since life was snuffed out before it ever started.
Yeah. I hate how that happens.
Yeah. But, you know.
Is it a pre-apocalyptic story?
Well, I mean, I was starting with comic books, and that was what I say about, like, I am interested in stories of both. Well, more, to a certain degree, I'm more interested in stories about the apocalypse, that are apocalyptic, that are about the end of the world and what happens. Right. I mean, you could say most zombie stories are obviously post-apocalyptic. Like, post-apocalyptic to me is always less interesting.
Mad Max?
Fury Road is all right. Not all right. Fury Road is great. But I mean, in terms of and I like the Road Warrior. I mean, the thing that I like about Mad Max is that it's just... We're just living in this world post-apocalyptically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like many post-apocalyptic stories, or especially anything that has a post-apocalyptic vision, like Terminator 2 or The Terminator, is all about preventing the apocalypse.
Right. There's a lot of preventing.
Which is, you know, okay, whatever.
Just let it happen.
But
man.
The thing that I like about, say, like, you know, Mad Max movies versus The Walking Dead is the Mad Max movies, they live within the rules of the world as they are now. Like, basically, people have decided, this is how life is now.
Right.
We drive cars, there are raving bands of mutant monsters.
Right.
And that's just it.
Right.
You build your society as best you can amongst that. As opposed
Make
to
your
like,
cookies this way, pal.
Right. As opposed to The Walking Dead, which I bail on because I feel like they're forever trying to restore life to the way it was before. Mm-hmm. And that's always annoying because it can't really go back.
Yeah.
And the things that keep it from going back are always the same.
Yeah.
How many sociopaths can there actually be?
I bailed on it because they went back to save the racist. And I couldn't figure out, like, well, unless that guy can make gasoline out of bark. Like, why would you save the racist? why would you go back into Atlanta to save the racist? What is he? Is he gonna like heal you? Like, yeah, what can he do for you in your camp?
Right. Well, you know, I feel like ultimately I bailed on The Walking Dead because every episode and every season asks the same question: Are we going to hold on to our humanity?
Yeah.
And the answer is consistently no.
Yeah.
No, we are
not. Yeah.
And that gets pretty boring.
Yeah.
Because I interestingly bailed on the comic book and the TV show at the same narrative point, even though they reached that narrative point differently. Not even the same narrative point, and different events happened.
Yeah, yeah.
For people, well, I'll spoil the fuck out of it. For people who have read the comic books, so Rick and his group make it to the prison.
Right.
And in the comic books, Lori survives the childbirth and has the baby. I forget the name of the baby.
Harold.
Whatever. No, it's a little girl. And when the governor and his forces assault the prison, Lori and the baby are both killed after, like, 3 years of Rick trying to keep them alive and fighting for his family and going through all of this shit.
Yeah.
They're just sort of, like, unintentionally mowed down and are just gone. And it's, like, a full splash page of her getting literally cut in half by a shotgun blast.
Yeah.
And the baby, too. And you're like... Why did I stick with this? This is just unrelenting ugliness.
Yeah.
And then I watched the show, and I stuck with it a surprising length of time until, again, the governor assaults the prison, and he kills Herschel, and I thought, why am I sticking with this?
Yeah.
This is never going to get better for them.
Is that something that you, as a consumer, you need? Like, hope?
Yes. Yes.
That's something you desire.
That is something I desire. The difference between that and, you know... the universe of A Song of Ice and Fire, or Game of Thrones, for you mainstream pop culture fans.
He says derisively.
Just a little derisively. That has hope. It's dark, it's ugly, terrible things happen, but there's a hope that there's a way out. There's a hope that it will get better.
Because I do know with Walking Dead, they basically said, like, there's not going to be a cure.
There's no cure. Everyone dies, becomes a zombie, and they're just going to keep running into communities run by sociopaths.
Which part of me, as a storyteller, wonders, is like, well, if there's no, what is your narrative end?
Right.
Are you going to defeat the zombie Nazis? Or are you going to die?
Right. Like to me, at the point...
like, at some point, they're consistently in the middle of the story.
Exactly. 4 or 5 years into this, like, there should be some community that is like, oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, there are zombies out there, and we go out and we kill them, but we're just having a normal community here of regular people.
Would you like
people.
A cup of tea?
Yeah. Just like, we've just built a life here, and this is how it goes.
Yeah.
And we just accept that, like... there are zombies. We kill the zombies when we have to kill the zombies.
Yeah.
And that's it. As opposed to this, like, we have to have... And that's the thing. The show has built up the introduction of Negan. It's like, ooh, our new big bad. I'm like, great.
Another
gibbering sociopath who's just going to kill people willy-nilly to assert his will.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about... I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking of the postman. Or Waterworld. Hey,
oh God,
Kevin Costner's done 2 post-apocalyptic movies.
And they were both massive flops.
Waterworld was profitable.
It was profitable, but...
and has created an amazing stage show.
Little loved. And The Postman was like 5 hours long.
Yeah, but go see the stage show at Universal Theme Parks.
Okay. Oh, we're plugging it's Universal Theme Parks now?
Well, they haven't given me any money yet. I'll just take some free tickets because the stage show is quite.
All right, that's what I've heard.
They're the rebuilding of society stories,
right?
You know,
and I'm more interested in that. I'm more interested, you know. I mean, one of my favorite post-apocalyptic stories is also from the World Comic Book is Why the Last Man.
Oh, that's a great.
And again, it just really digs into the reality of what it would be like, and like how does society reassert itself?
And there's no takebacks.
And there are no takebacks.
Which I was really, really pleased as a reader of, like, I'm going like, okay, are they going to undo the... And they never reveal why it happened. There's suggestions about why it happened. But they never take it back.
But I think they move forward. I think boys are born again. But it's a while.
Yes.
They haven't, because
they had to first... We're totally going to spoil. Spoiler alert. Because they clone
Yorick.
Yeah. But wasn't Ampersand, like, didn't he have, like, they used him before?
And what, yeah, whatever, because, like, they eventually said that whatever it was, and they didn't, various theories were pointed, but that Yorick survived because of Ampersand.
Right, yeah,
that
yeah.
it was Ampersand who was actually the X Factor.
And his... flinging his
flinging
feces.
His poo.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Yorick couldn't figure out how to train his rhesus monkey.
So kids, yeah. Make sure you have a monkey around you at all times.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that comic book just...
That's a brilliant comic book. Like beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
And I stress that. Beginning, middle and end.
It ends and ends satisfyingly.
Yeah, and I fear on. I get nervous about ongoing.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a little straying from apocalyptic things, but like, but I feel like, you know, you have to have an ongoing apocalyptic story. Is this?
But that's what ongoing. I mean. That's the problem with most zombie stories is that they're just the apocalypse. Like, to me, an apocalypse is a discrete event.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a world.
Yeah,
the world comes to an end, and then after that. You pull the pieces together and society reasserts itself. Something happens.
So there's kind of three stories, maybe. Three story types. There's the apocalyptic story, which is the apocalypse is happening.
Imminent or happening.
Oh,
like that super depressing movie. Oh, God, that movie's so depressing.
The Road?
I refuse
to watch The Road.
Not The Road, because that book, jeez.
I can't. I can't do it.
After I read that, I called bullshit on every post-apocalyptic story I ever saw.
I haven't read the book.
I read the book, and I was like, oh, there's so much more cannibalism.
My God. I read the Wikipedia article. I'm like, nope, I am.
So much cannibalism.
I've checked out. I am gone. No.
When you're watching, when I'm watching Terminator 2 now, I'm like... What are they all eating?
Yeah.
Why do they all look so healthy?
They're eating Billy. Billy was bad. Billy became like, soup.
There's the Nick Cage movie, Knowing. Oh.
I haven't seen
that.
Oh, that
is a depressing kick to the nads.
Cuz it's Nick Cage?
Well, partly cuz it's Nick Cage, but that's the one where the sun is going to burn out. The guy realizes the sun's going to burn out,
uh-huh.
and that aliens have been communicating with people's kids to save, like, a bunch of kids from the planet, but, like, the planet's definitely going to die.
Oh, okay.
And, like, this is the long, long story short. Not short. It's already too long. they're sending these, like, series of numbers,
uh-huh.
and Nick Cage realizes that the numbers are all dates of disasters. And it's, like, the coordinates of the disaster,
uh-huh.
the date, the time, and the number of people killed.
Yeah.
And, like, all the people who are, like, whatever, possessed with these numbers and have to write them down, when they get to the end of the sequence, they write, you know, I don't even think they write coordinates. They write the date, and then they write these, like, symbols that seem really weird until they realize that they're E's. Two E's for everyone else.
Ah.
And then everyone else dies.
Oh, that's...
And then that's literally what happens in the book.
So there's...
Everyone dies.
There's the apocalypse story.
Yes.
The story that the apocalypse is happening.
Imminent or happening.
Imminent or happening. There is the post-apocalyptic story, mm-hmm. where the apocalypse has happened at some point in the past.
Or happened recently. And we're dealing in the post-apocalyptic wink.
Yeah, and you're rebuilding, perhaps. And then there's the apocalyptic vision.
Right. And then that's another one where you have a vision. But that's just the first one. Because usually what it is like you have the apocalyptic vision, and then you have to stop the apocalypse.
Right. But I think that's different. I think it's... sometimes that apocalyptic vision is used to get Captain Archer on your side.
It is, you know? but again, the whole point from that point on, I didn't watch Empire Enterprise, so I'm assuming from that point on, the whole thing that he's trying to do is stop that apocalypse.
Yeah, but that apocalypse is like 30 years from...
But he's still, you're still trying to stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's the same...
a finer point, because I think it's a vision rather than an event that's happening.
But to me, it's the same as... It's honestly the same as if, you know, in that episode of Enterprise, if some scientist had come to him and said, hey, so I did this simulation, and it shows X, Y, and Z is going to happen in 30 years, so, you know, keep X, Y, and Z from happening. It's still, the apocalypse is imminent.
That's not a vision to me.
But to me, it's not like a vision, again, a Song of Ice and Fire. is full of visions. Mm-hmm. Visions of the future, but they are, you know, more poetic, and it's less about spurring you into action. Sometimes it's a little bit about spurring people to action and to trying to prevent that vision from happening, but usually it's like a dream, and you've got to, like, translate it into a thing.
Are you saying Enterprise is not poetic?
I'm saying what you're describing is not poetic.
Says the man who watched all of Star Trek Voyager.
That's
snap.
Right.
Snap.
Almost all.
Snap. Snap.
I like Voyager. I stand by Voyager.
I didn't really like Enterprise. I stopped watching it.
I don't know. I understand all that.
I love you,
Voyager.
Scott Bakula, but I stopped watching Enterprise. Oh. What was the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't watch it because I was terrified. And I was a child, so let's just justify that. Maybe you'll remember it. It was directed by Nicholas Meyer, and it was the nuclear bomb.
Oh, The Day After.
The Day
After. Oh, God, that was a terrifying movie.
Like,
it was
I cannot.
A TV movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's a made-for-TV movie, The Day After.
Yeah.
I've seen clips of it. I've never watched it because it's so the idea of it so terrified me as a child.
It was terrifying.
That I could not.
One guy gets his eyes burned out.
Yeah.
Because he's looking at the blast. And, yeah, no. I mean, that was... I mean, we grew up, you know, as men of a certain age.
Yeah.
Grew up in the, like, heyday of apocalypses.
Yeah.
We grew up when, you know, the nuclear clock was, you know...
Actually,
5 to midnight.
It was actually a clock.
2 to midnight every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not in this, like, new namby-pamby global warming's going to come and kill us all way.
Yeah.
It was in, like, the Russians could blow us up right now.
Sting had to write songs.
Yeah. But you ever see Miracle Mile?
I did see Miracle. I was thinking about Miracle Mile about a few
minutes
ago.
Oh, you know what I did to some poor, unfortunate people? I'm a terrible human being.
Tell me. Tell our audience.
In accent. Okay, if you've never seen Miracle Mile, it's a great film starring Mr. Anthony Edwards.
When he still had hair.
When he still had hair. And Ms. Mayor Winningham. When she still had hair. When they're this lovely, cute couple, have a great meet cute in the first 2 minutes.
Yep.
And they make a plan to meet at a diner later. And it's just darling for their first date.
It's adorable.
And on their way to their first date, Anthony Edwards passes a payphone that's ringing. And for some reason, he picks it up. I can't remember why.
Well, it's a ringing phone. Who wouldn't pick it up?
He picks up, and this is a time when there were payphones on the street.
Hopefully we won't have to explain payphone.
Yes. And he, oh wait, no, I think she's late for the date or something, or whatever. But he picks up the payphone, and the guy on the other end is in a missile silo in Iowa and was trying to call home.
And he's apologizing.
And he's apologizing, and he says, the birds are in the air. You only have, like, 40 minutes or whatever.
Like 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Yeah, yeah. And the guy... And it turns out that, yes, nuclear war has started, and the rest of the movie is about Nicolas Cage. Anthony Edwards trying to get to Mayor Winningham.
Yeah.
And get out of L.A.
Yeah.
Before the apocalypse comes.
And it's in real time.
And, he's told you have 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the birds are in the air, you have 90 minutes.
Yeah.
He's trying to convince people that it's happening, but it's all, like, hush-hush, and it's not on the news.
Yeah, yeah.
No one believes him. And then, sure enough, nuclear bombs come down, and they all die. He and the girl fall into the La Brea tar pits.
Exactly.
And die.
Yeah.
Now...
Now that we've spoiled it for you.
Now that we've spoiled it for you, but you need to know all of those things. All of
to
those
find out why
very
Jay
literal
is the
facts.
Person
so,
in this conversation.
And I want to say that I saw this movie, and it's a really good movie. It's a good, like,
it's a great
80s
movie.
Indie sort of, it's a little quirky and a little weird, and it's very
and
exciting.
I have to say, it's a great movie, and it's kind of horrible that we've ruined it for you, because one of the great tense moments when I first saw it was... Is it real?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is it going to happen?
Oh, yeah. It's totally
what's
going to
happen?
Yeah.
And you get so tense that you know it's in real time. And you're like, oh, my God.
Right.
I'm going to find out in 5 minutes. And everyone's going bezonkers. Yeah. Because everyone's, like freaking
more
out.
More and more crazy as the movie goes on. So I've seen this movie. I had already seen this movie. I was having a New Year's Eve party in 1990. Uh-huh. So the height of the Cold War. And, you know, it was a New Year's Eve party. People are hanging around. We're all having a good time. And a couple of my friends say, hey, we want to go up and watch a movie. Here's this movie, Miracle Mile. Is it
and
any good?
Like,
and I say,
awesome.
It's great. Yeah, no, you guys should totally watch it. So they go upstairs. They watch it. An hour and a half, they come downstairs. My friend Annie is like, you asshole. Why the fuck would you let us watch this movie on New Year's Eve? They're all ashen and shell-shocked.
No one's getting any that night.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, that was the worst. I'm the worst.
You are the worst. Speaking of the worst, let's do this week's sponsor. Mm-hmm. It comes from Damnation Valley. If you're looking for a place to move and you don't mind giant ants and spiders and scorpions... You come to Damnation Valley. The property is cheap. You can see for miles. And you need a massive car to get there. But if you can, you should totally live in Damnation Valley.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does Damnation Valley have a Salvation Army?
I'm sure they do. Doesn't every Damnation Valley have a Salvation Army?
Oh, God, we crack ourselves up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is that I've loved. I mean, the thing that I do, like I said, the thing that I like about comic book apocalypse stories is that they're almost always out of context.
And they can take them back.
They always take them back. Yeah. They never really count. But there's still something really fun about it.
I have to say, actually, it's surprising that you haven't mentioned the biggest and best apocalyptic story in comic book dumb.
The Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Exactly.
Oh, God, that was so great.
That's actually, like... Because not only is it an apocalypse of a planet.
Oh, my God.
It's like of all...
An entire multiverse.
An entire multiverse. And I came to it years after it had occurred, but just to catch people up, because DC has rebooted itself several times since then.
But this was the first... This was the first time. This was not just the first time. I mean, let's just talk about...
That they rebooted themselves.
Let's just talk about Crisis on Infinite Earths as a hallmark moment in comic book dumb.
Yeah.
This was the first universe-wide reboot.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly.
People, like, they didn't do this. I mean, yeah. They erased...
Everything.
50 years of history.
Yeah.
Killed a number of characters. Yeah. Erased entire worlds.
Yeah.
And then, in the end, combined it all into one cohesive thing that lasted for about 3 years, but that's besides the point.
Well, I think it lasted a little longer than three.
Before Final Crisis...
No, you had Zero.
Zero Hour, Final Crisis again.
You had Countdown to Crisis.
Countdown to Crisis.
Yeah, it became a little franchise. But yeah, no, it's actually kind of a moving story.
Yeah, it's
because it's this huge epic story. And especially like if you've been a comic reader like for 10 years, say, mm-hmm. and you come to the story, like and like so because what's great about ongoing comics, one of the things I love about ongoing comics is You travel with the character.
Yeah.
You are with these characters and their ups and downs, the writers and artists. And if the writers are great, they kind of carry on with what has come on from before. They're not starting from scratch every time. And so, in a nerdy way, they become your friends. They become familiar to you. And then so, when somebody dies...
Oh, my God.
And this story was like... was an imaginary story. It was really happening. You knew it was really happening. Like, okay, they just killed Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah, they kill...
For realsies.
Yeah.
Yes, they may take that back. But this was before people would die and come back.
Yeah, this was like... I mean, characters... like. Well, listen. Just to really, like, hallmark what Crisis was and how it worked and what made it so revolutionary and so really often imitated is that, yeah, characters would... Of course, there was always comic book deaths and someone would fall and die.
Yeah.
But this did one feel permanent.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed Supergirl, they killed The Flash.
Yeah.
As well as a number of other minor characters.
Yeah.
Because what happened sort of in universe for DC universe was that there was a whole multitude of universes.
Yeah.
And I mean, what you're saying is that there were a bunch of characters that people had lived with for years because there was Earth 1 Superman and Earth 2 Superman and like all of these different worlds and all these different
all the Golden Age
all these heroes and they had children and they had all of this long complicated history, which was part of the reason they wound up doing it. And then they invented the anti-monitor.
Which is kind of a dumb name.
Which is a pretty dumb name.
Yeah.
Who set out to destroy all of the universes.
Yeah.
And in the end, five of them were remerged into one cohesive universe.
Yeah.
But in the course of it, The Flash died, Supergirl died.
Yeah.
Dove of Hawk and Dove died.
Correct, yes.
Plus a number of other, like, I'm forgetting even, like, the host of, like, minor side characters who were erased or whatever.
I think, like, Captain Carrot.
Yep. And then, like, I mean, oh, God, Wonder Woman.
She died.
She died. I mean, they brought her immediately back, but yeah, she was reverted to her primordial clay.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And like, so all there were all of these major consequences from this thing.
Yeah.
This like 12 issue miniseries that
maxi series
that has never been repeated. Like, you can't. Yeah. It's,
well, because you can't repeat it, because I mean they've tried. I mean, obviously, Final Crisis, mm-hmm. Countdown to Crisis, like all of these, they've tried to...
They've tried many times.
They've used it as a kind of a franchise hand wave to reboot the universe, but I don't think it's ever been as successful, because I don't think it's been on the same scale.
No.
Because, I mean, and it would be impossible, because, like, they were literally reorganizing 50 years of history.
Exactly, and it's hard to really... grasp the concept of killing Barry Allen in 1987 when he's been a hero since the 1960s.
Yeah.
And he's been the Flash since the
1960s. Yeah, yeah.
And they straight up killed his ass.
Well, he did get to tell Batman.
He did. He had a message.
Yeah, he had a message.
He was traveling backwards in time.
God, I loved it.
Oh, God, and then, it's great.
And then he became the lightning bolt.
Yes.
That gave him his powers.
Oh, right.
There's a they did a kind of a secret origins after that.
I feel like after that they invented the Speed Force.
Yeah. Because the Speed Force.
Because the Speed Force came out of
long,
that.
No, actually, long time. Because the Speed... Because actually, I think Crisis is 86, because 87 is when they did the new Flash comic book.
Right.
And they didn't kind of have the Speed Force until, like... issue 50-ish around is when they kind of... It's when Mark Waid took over.
Okay.
Because William Messner Loebs... actually, Mike Baron was the first writer, then William Messner Loebs, who was fantastic, and then when Mark Waid took over, that's when he created the Speed Force.
So
it was quite some time
after. It was a ways off. Yeah. But yeah, but it was just Crisis. I mean, I think that is the crowning achievement of comic book apocalypses.
Yeah, I would say. And was also permanent.
Yes.
Well, until they took it away.
Yep.
Now, here's a question for you. A Song of Ice and Fire question.
Song of Ice and Fire.
Is it actually an apocalyptic story? In the sense...
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, great.
Absolutely, hands down.
Because, I mean, it's a zombie story, really.
It's not.
It's a very slow-moving zombie story.
They're not really zombies. I mean, they're whites. And the whites are not even really the problem.
Aren't they?
They're not. The others are the problem. The White Walkers, for people who watch the TV show. But yeah, no, it is entirely the first kind of apocalypse story where, whether they realize it or not, they have to prevent the apocalypse.
Right.
And it's all about, are they going to get their shit together to prevent the apocalypse?
So basically, the series of books is the longest lead up to that phone call in Miracle Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, the phone call in Miracle Mile has happened. Jon Snow has gotten the phone call. So we're in the part of the movie where he's running around people saying, "Hey, guys, I think we might only have 90 minutes left." And everyone's like, "What are you talking about?" Turned on my Westeros news, and they're not talking about anything.
But it took, like, how many books to get to the phone call?
It took...
3 or 4?
For him, since the series is actually... The show is actually ahead of it.
Yeah.
He hasn't even gotten the phone call in the books.
What do you determine to be the phone call moment? Was it that part where the White King was like, "Come on, bring it"?
Hardhome, the Battle of Hardhome.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, while it happens in the book, happens off screen.
So stupid.
And is not quite the same.
Yeah.
But the Battle at Hardhome is the phone call of, like, everything else we're talking about here is some bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy has an army of the dead, and he is coming.
Because I keep wondering, like, why does everyone care who gets the Iron Throne? It's like... you know there's zombies knocking at that big giant wall.
Except they don't know. They all think it's legends
and
rumors.
But I mean, not the people in the show who cares who gets the Iron Throne. Yeah. It's everyone who's watching the show is like, "Oh, who's going to get the Iron Throne?" It's like, there are zombies coming.
Right.
Like, no one seems to worry about that so much. Just, yeah. Yeah.
They do, but...
But most people are like, "Oh, is Daenerys going to get the throne?" I don't care.
But mostly, I care, because, like, I hope she does.
Yeah, she's crazy.
I don't care that she's crazy. Cray-cray. She's got dragons.
It doesn't make her less crazy.
That's not the point.
No, it is the point. Want crazy on the throne?
No. The point is, she got dragons, which means she can fight the freaking White Walkers.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she has to be on the throne to do it.
Why else would she? Out of the goodness of her heart? What are you, insane?
That's true. She is. I'm not insane. I'm not the insane one.
What are you, nuts? That's not how it works. She's the crazy one. Listen. Be like...
You know who I want on the throne?
Who do you want on the throne?
Lady Mormont.
Well, listen, Lady Mormont. Everyone's Lady Mormont on the damn throne.
Exactly.
That girl's hardcore. She's tough.
She will punch the heart out of you.
Oof. She's like 7.
She could totally kick my ass.
Oh, man. That's I'm terrified sad. Of her. Yeah. Oh, Lady Mormont, here's to you.
May your reign be forever.
And your epic stink face.
That's true.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't think if there are other... No, there aren't... Marvel doesn't do them right.
Who doesn't do them
Marvel
right?
Marvel doesn't do, like... apocalyptic stories really well.
You were just
well.
Talking about the
Avengers. I mean, they
one.
Did the last Avengers, but, like, it's even
about,
that was is fun, but,
what
like...
What about Earth-X? Do you remember that?
Yeah, Earth-X was their attempt to do Kingdom Come, and it did not work.
It was awful.
They hired all the people to do Kingdom Come, because they're... The thing about, like, the DC universe is that lends itself to is that they are huge and iconic and larger than life.
Yeah.
And Marvel is, on purpose, not so much. So everyone's
very, very flawed and human.
They're very flawed. They're very human. Their powers are smaller. So their apocalypses are smaller. Like, Civil War is the closest Marvel comes to that.
Ragnarok.
But it's also all sort of contained. Like,
yeah.
The X-Men have Days of Future Past.
Yeah, which is a very classic story.
Which is a classic story and a classic apocalypse story. But isn't that much. Or, you know, they had Age of Apocalypse.
Which, surprisingly, we have not brought up until just this moment. The entire...
Only apocalypse I don't like is Apocalypse.
I don't even get Apocalypse. I don't, like...
It's no. He's,
because it's like...
He's the
what
worst
is this mutant
kind
power?
Of villain.
Whatever power we need
exactly.
for him to have. He's and
the,
I don't get it.
It's a terrible villain, because all he is villainy. Yeah. And all he is whatever power they need him to have.
I don't
and
get it.
And he has no sort of human goal or flaw other than I'm an arrogant villain.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Age of Apocalypse comics are interesting in that if you like seeing your heroes in slightly different circumstances.
Yeah. And but, I find that interesting to a degree, but then after a while it's like, okay, so what? You know, it's like moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Apocalypse is my least favorite Apocalypse. I don't even like the Anti-Monitor's name, but
at least
it's interesting.
Say, at least the Anti-Monitor was interesting.
Yeah. All right. And yet, now that we've trash-talked Apocalypse...
Again.
We haven't trash-talked him. We've trash-talked Mr. Sinister. But I'd rather have Mr. Sinister as a villain than Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jay, is there anything left to talk about?
I don't think so. Just, it's the end of the world as we know it, and we feel fine.
I feel like we've just kind of arrived at an end. Not really planted the ending.
But we arrived.
I think we kind of, like... Hit the pole, hit the jumpy thing, did some flips, and then kind of, like, stumbled onto the mat. But here we are at the end.
And not with a bang. Yeah. Oh, wait, I forgot about my other favorite Apocalypse.
Oh.
Good Omens.
Oh.
Which, as I mentioned many times, is basically the heart of my personal philosophies. And is a book about the literal
end
Christian apocalypse.
Yeah.
But very funny. And they misplaced the Antichrist.
As normally as the end of time should be.
Yep.
Funny enough,
the serpent from the garden and the angel of the east gate are old friends.
I just realized we also didn't, like, literally we mentioned End of Times, but we did not mention the movie End of Times.
Oh. End of Days.
End of Days, right.
Oh,
God. Wait. And Ninth Gate.
Oh, the Ninth Gate.
I have to admit.
Mouth of Madness.
Oh, Mouth of Madness. See, now I haven't seen End of Days.
It's really bad.
That's what I kind of imagine.
The Game of Word makes a very good devil, but it's really bad.
Yeah, well... It's the wrong era of Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
So, and Ninth Gate is bad Johnny Depp.
Yep, very bad Johnny Depp.
Ooh. Like, I feel like it's contractually obligated Johnny Depp.
Yeah. No.
Question.
Mm?
And I forgot the movie. The giant mecha robot movie.
Pacific Rim?
Yes. Apocalyptic Story?
No. I mean, it's no more an apocalyptic story than... any James Bond movies in apocalyptic story. I was thinking about this because I was watching that that terrible Deep Space Nine episode where Julian Bashir is James Bond.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I realized that, like, I mean, most James Bond movies are about preventing a kind of apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, many of Moonraker them, is a great, yeah.
I mean, they are, but it's always easily preventable. Like, not easily, but it's preventable.
Well, sure. So you like the
You want your apocalypse to be massive and global and...
Unpreventable. You have no heart.
Or if preventable, preventable through, like, an act of God.
Or self-sacrifice. Well, it is an act of God. It was James Bond.
But not snapped.
See what I did there?
Yeah. But not through outsmarting a stupid plan like I explained the whole thing to you.
Yeah, I'm thinking Moonraker, where he's going to drop some plants on the Earth and...
Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I feel like most action movies, especially these days, that we are in the era... And Damon Lindelof has talked about this. It's one of the problems with Star Trek Into Darkness. It is one of the problems with, like, blockbuster action movies, is that we're at a point where the expectation of the stakes has to be global.
Super high. Yeah.
They have to be world-ending threats.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think the kaiju, as I point to your...
My kaiju t-shirt.
Exactly. Of Pacific Rim, they've altered. Like one could argue that they're living in a post-apocalyptic.
You could argue that, but I don't know. Like I said, it just lives.
But we haven't gotten enough view of what life is like.
Yeah, we just
post kaiju appearance.
Exactly. We don't know. People living in Peoria, their lives may not be that different.
Their lives will never change in Peoria.
Yeah,
given even a nuclear blast, it would not change Peoria.
So I'm just saying.
Hmm. I don't know.
To me, it's not the same. I mean, again, it's... Yes, they're trying to save the world, but, you know... So is Tom Cruise in every movie.
Yeah, but not every... Say, every Mission Impossible movie. Actually, the stakes are world-ending.
Actually, yeah. In every Mission Impossible movie...
No!
Well,
no.
Okay, the first one, it's not exactly world-ending, but they're going to kill a bunch of...
Spies.
The second one, it is literally world-ending.
I don't know the second one that you're talking about.
The second one is the one where... Doug Ray Scott is going to poison the world.
Nope.
The third one, we're unsure because we're never clear as to what the MacGuffin is.
Uh-huh. So you're at one movie so far.
Maybe not. The Ghost Protocol, the guy is going to start in a nuclear apocalypse.
Was he going to?
Yes, that was his whole point.
Which one was the bad guy in Ghost Apocalypse?
In Ghost Protocol, it was the Russian guy who, blew up the Kremlin in order to get the nuclear football so that he could trigger a nuclear war.
Yeah, but why was he going to trigger a nuclear war?
Because he believed, he was an apocalyptic person who believed that the only way for humanity to move forward was to clear the decks.
Right, okay. All right, so two... Out of five.
And while the Syndicate... I have something about the Syndicate in five. I mean, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, but they're not going to literally end the world.
Well, they're destabilizing a number of countries and fomenting world war. I mean, no, he doesn't have, a device where he's going to push a button and blow up London.
Hey, listen, if the kaiju is not post-apocalyptic or pre-apocalyptic or apocalyptic... Rogue Nation is not an apocalyptic movie. The stakes are not apocalyptic.
Listen, my argument is just that. That is exactly my argument, though. That they are the same. That it is that these are just action movie stakes.
Yeah, but
that is different than
the stakes of Rogue Nation are not. The world will end. Rogue Nation is not Moonraker. That is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I'm going to take it very personally.
I know you and your newfound affection for Rogue Nation.
It is not Moonraker.
Because it's a better movie, but I'm just saying... Yeah,
but the plots aren't similar.
But I'm saying that the Syndicate is a global threat.
Yeah, but that's different. But a global threat isn't the same thing as world-ending threat.
Is it?
Yes, it's different.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. Life would go on under the Syndicate.
Maybe.
It might be brutal.
Maybe. I mean...
But I'm just saying...
They might, you know... Turn it a couple knobs too much, and then all of a sudden it's Fury Road.
Or they might turn the knobs the other way, and it's like pennies from heaven.
What?
I don't know.
You're just saying words now. All right, we're done.
Thanks, Heidi.
There's only so far we can go. Now you're just spouting nonsense.
Thanks. Thank you, Heidi, for making it sound brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has any questions or threats, you can send them to Deep Cut Nerd.
Send all of your threats to Deep Cut
Nerd. Twitter.
And to our Twitter friends, I do must say once again, Calvin Ball does not count as a sport in speculative fiction because Calvin and Hobbes is not speculative fiction.
No.
That is definitive. Stop bringing it up.
Now I'm wondering, is it speculative fiction?
It is not speculative fiction.
I don't think it is. You're right. I agree. Because there's what's speculative fiction? It's all a child's imagination.
It's all a child's imagination. Listen, if there was some episode where Hobbes and Susie from next door were hanging out...
It's true. Yeah.
Then we're into speculative fiction.
If Hobbes was an actual talking creature.
Yes. Or if somehow she could imagine him in the same continuity and way... So if we're not within her imagination, he is an independent entity from Calvin. Sure. But that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no,
so
Calvin
stop
Ball.
Bringing it up.
Yeah, Calvin Ball.
Calvin Ball didn't count.
No.
Thank you.
And Quidditch is still stupid.
Only when people play it live at medieval festivals.
That's true. All right. Bye, everyone.